Good morning,
and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And we pray that as we fellowship together, as we take the name of Christ and examine who he is really and what he means to us today, we pray that we may gain a glimpse of his glory. And we may understand the work that he came to do. Father, we as a church are privileged to proclaim the name of Christ so that people can be gathered, receive the word with gladness, and some of them become believers in the Lord Jesus. We are thankful, Father, that we do so not only through our meeting here at Morgan Hill, but also through the radio ministry and KKMC, through the internet ministry and our web page, through the satellite network, through the tape ministry and the CD ministry. We call this the expanded church. A lot of people listening and taking notes, pondering in their heart what Christ really means to them. We thank you, Father, that you gave us an open door into the airwaves so that we can communicate the life, the work, and the splendor and glory of our Lord Jesus. We also have missionaries, actual physical missionaries in place, Father, for all the length of our church. And Father, we are thankful that you never let us be short of money so that we never have to cancel or short a missionary in our giving. And so, Father, we are grateful for that. And we pray that Fred and Carol Lewis be strong and that Fred be recovered and reassigned in his ministry. Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville. Eusebio and Maritza Perez in Benalmadena. David and Denise Ruth in Papua New Guinea. Giovanni and Barbara Avendano in Guatemala. The South Valley Pregnancy Care Center. Marta Peretti in Argentina, Christian Athletic Association, Father in San Jose, and Daniel and Miriam Lacey, and Danny is finished in Daytona Beach, their race this Sunday, and coming back home. We pray, Lord, that you bless him, and that you give him words of wisdom as he talks to the drivers. And Father, we are grateful as a church body that you support the ministry, and I'm grateful for the congregation who is so willing and giving with sacrifice to keep the ministry going at Bethel. So we thank you, Lord, for the offering. We thank you for the giving. We thank you for those who even are sick, Lord, today, for Toyan, who is sick, for Loretta Forrest, who is in bed, for Jerry West in Costa Rica, who is trying to recover and see what you have done in his body for another 6 months before a next examination comes up. And Father, we are grateful that you care for our body. And we pray because you act and you move. And we pray that you make us strong. And for everything that we need, we have to depend on you. Because yes, we take medicine. Yes, we go to the doctor. But the ultimate touch is your touch to produce that medicine, to produce everything we take for good in our life. Now, Father, bless us as we fellowship today on the first Sunday of the month and we partake the Lord's Supper, saying with this ceremony that Christ Jesus hath died and rose again and he is coming back for us. Thank you for Jesus, our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated, please.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the Gospel of Matthew. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 576. We will be reading Matthew chapter 22, verses 23 through 46. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Matthew chapter 22, verses 23 through 46. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said unto them, You do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry, nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not heard that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, as saying, What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. He saith unto them, How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. And if David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray together. Our gracious Father, we come before you because of the merits of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for having drawn us to him and to believe all that the Scripture has revealed to us about him. We thank you now that we have seen him as we have seen you. We are more grateful. We are more than grateful that you are a merciful, that you are a merciful, loving, and just God. We love you, Lord, our Maker, our Defender, our Redeemer, and our Friend. We pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. Bless him, Father, as he comes to expose your word and enable us to appreciate even more who you are and your mighty acts. We pray for those listening on the internet and radio and tape and CD that they may also be blessed by the hearing of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother. And as we start a new month, we are on the month of April. We will have a series of studies. We are still rejoicing on the fact of what we already have a study on that beautiful book of the Old Testament. But now we come to a new series of studies for this month on Christ. We have Easter coming up on the 16th, and I'd like to take the entire month and talks about many aspects of Christ, questions that perhaps we ask ourselves about the Lord Jesus. Now, I suppose there is no one here who has not thought more or less about Christ in America. You have heard about him, read about him, and heard men preach about the Lord Jesus Christ. For 2,000 years, men have been talking about him, about Jesus, and thinking about him. And some have their mind made about Jesus. They care less about him, they told me. And some have doubts about Jesus. They said, we don't know. And although all of these years have rolled away, these questions about who is Christ comes up over and over and over. If you have your Bible open in Matthew's in chapter 22 and in verse 42, which is page 578, Jesus is in a corner. He describes the doctors of the law, the doctors of the written law have been put aside by the answer Jesus gave them. And now come the flashy ones. The Pharisees, these are the doctors of theology. And they really want to put Jesus in a corner. These are lawyers, masters in the law of the Old Testament. And Jesus flashed to them a question that, as our brother have read, put them completely off. Here's a question. Matthew 22, verse 42. What do you think about the Christ? The King James says, what think ye of Christ? And today's English will be, what do you think about the Christ? Now, listen carefully. Jesus didn't ask, what do you think about the established church? Or, What do you think about the Presbyterians? Or what do you think about the Baptist Church? Or the Roman Catholic Church? Jesus didn't ask, what do you think of this pastor or this other pastor? Or what do you think about this doctrine or about this other doctrine? He zeroed in on these theologians and he said, what do you think about the Christ? In this church, I don't have to say it, but I will say it again because we are on, now I learn on satellite radio, and maybe some people do not have the information. The word Christ is pronounced in the Greek language Christos, and is the word that corresponds to the translation of the word Messiah of the Old Testament. And so Jesus is saying to these people, what do you think about the Messiah? Actually, he's saying, where did he come from? Who is his father? What do you know about him? Now, these are the doctors. What do you think about Christ? Now, let me ask you today, here in church at Bethel in Morin Hill, California, United States of America, and you who are listening to me, who knows where, let me ask you, what do you think about the Messiah? I wrote myself a few questions. Number one, was he really God? Is not a fair question. Was he really God? Did he leave heaven and came down to this world for a purpose? Did he come really to seek and to save, like Mark's gospel said? Did he really do this? I have been involved with the FBI for about 6 months. Nothing wrong about me. It's about somebody else. And they want my information of what I know from this person. And I asked the FBI, I said, will you, before I answer to you, will you let me know, how do you search a people and know something about them? I said, well, we have this practice. To know a person good, we have to ask questions to his enemies and to his friends. All right. I think I was a friend of this person, but that's the way they do it. Somewhere, somehow, they will ask you, do you know anybody who knows this person? And then by asking like this, you end up to a place where you get somebody who really doesn't like this person or something and will tell you something important. Well, this is not a crime or anything like this. This person was applying to work for the FBI and was a former employee of mine when I was on radio. And so therefore, it's a fair question the FBI is asking because if this person is going to work for them, they have to know the person. All right. We will do the same thing with Jesus. We are the FBI this morning. And we're going to go to his enemies, and we know what his enemies are, and ask a question, what do you think about Jesus? And then we're going to go to his friends and ask his friends, what do you think about Jesus? Now you're going to have a clear picture of who that Jesus really is. Number one, first among the witnesses of his enemies is the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the theologians, the sophisticated people. You know, you never know, when a person is too sophisticated, you never know what that person really think. And these were the Pharisees. They were the archy enemies of Jesus, but they were so polite and so well educated. All right? Pharisees, what do you think about Jesus? Will you turn your Bible to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15 and verse 2, page 612 in our Bible. Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verse 2. This is what the Pharisees said at this moment. Gospel of Luke, 15:2. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receives sinners and eat with them. Now that's the hard thing that they can say about Jesus. He receives sinners. He sympathizes with sinners. We are so polite, so well-dressed, so well-educated, that we don't want nothing to do with the Mexicans. But this guy received the Mexicans. I'm sorry, Brother Leo. All right. You know what it is? It's something like that. Oh, this guy received the Chinese. Oh, this guy received the Filipino people. Like somebody said to me, they are Filipino. Oh, yeah, praise the Lord. He said, oh, he was depressed. I can't believe it. But this guy, this man Jesus, he received sinners, period, whatever nationality or race you are. That is the accusing enemies. Well, go to Matthew 27. We have more about the Pharisees. Verse 41 and 42 in Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27, verse 41 and 42. Likewise also, the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, he saved others. You got that word? Verse 42. He save others. Himself he cannot save. If he were the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. See, they said, he save others. That's the hardest accusation. He receives sinners and he saves sinners. This is the enemies. The one that don't like Jesus, the only thing they can say bad about Jesus is this. This guy, he receives anybody. There is no a black pastor or a Spanish pastor or American pastor. He all the people are equal to him and he saved them. Wow. I have not seen a man like that for a long time. I have to tell you. All right. That is the Pharisees. Amazing. Amazing. And let's talk about the chief priests. As you know, in the economy of Israel at the time the gospel, the Matthew, was written, there were two governments. The Roman government, who was the occupied government, is like Iraq. There are two governments. They're supposed to be Iraqi government and the Americans. All right? And so over there, there were the Romans and the local people. The local people were the priests, because the Bible said that only the priests can rule the world. All right, in the Old Testament. And so, let's go to Matthew 26 and verse 65. Secondly, among the witnesses, I will call Caiaphas, the high priest, the chief man of the Supreme Court. Let's put it in this way. I'm going to call the chief man of the Supreme Court to witness about Jesus. Matthew 26, verse 65, page 581. Then the high priest rent his clothes. You know, renting the clothes is the sadness that somebody has sinned against God. The book of Leviticus describes the renting of the clothing will be, remember Job, when he was in distress, he rent his clothing as a sign that something had been violated. He rent his clothes saying, he is Jesus, have spoken blasphemy. What further need we have a witness? Behold, now we have heard his blasphemy. And you know what a blasphemy was. He claimed to be God. So the high priest is saying to us, here is a problem. And the problem is, this man claimed to be God. Now, he didn't prove it wrong. He just said, I don't like what he said. He didn't say he claimed to be God and he was wrong. He said he claimed to be God. And without any proof about it, and yes or no, he judged him in that way. Don't like him. All right? That's Caiaphas. That's the Supreme Court of Israel. Now, thirdly, among the witness, I will call then the Supreme Court of the Roman Empire, who was head by Pilate. All right? So now Pilate do an examination on Jesus face to face. And so I asked Pilate, Pilate, you have the opportunity to talk to Jesus. What do you think about the Messiah? Let's turn the Bible to Luke Gospel, chapter 23, page 619. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, verse 4, and see what the Supreme Court of the Roman Empire, the occupied people who occupy Palestine at that time, let's see what he thinks about Jesus. Luke Gospel, chapter 23, and verse 4. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people. You got it? I find no fault in this man. This is the Supreme Court. Nero, Pilate. That is the man. If he said, that man be dead, that man be dead. He is about Caiaphas. He is the top guy. He is the man who rules. And he says, I find no fault in this man. You want to know what the heathen said about Jesus? You want to know what the law of the land said about Jesus? Pilate will stand today and will say, no guilty. Period. Recorded in the scripture. Well, there was a man who ministered for 3.5 years with Jesus. He's supposed to know Jesus well. He went with Jesus for 3.5 years. And he betrayed him. His name is Judas. He maybe have an insight about Jesus, why he betrayed him. Let's find out what Judas had to say about Jesus, all right? Judas knew the master well. He sold the master for 30 pieces of silver, and he betrayed him with the keys. And he saw him performing miracles in Bethany. He was there when he resurrected Lazarus. What did he have to say about Jesus? Turn your Bible to Matthew's chapter 27 and verse 3. Matthew's chapter 27 and verse 3, page 581. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, when they saw that they said crucify him, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. And now look at Matthew 27:4, saying, I have sinned and that I have betrayed what? Innocent blood. And they say, what is that to us? See it to yourself. That's your problem, they said. Judas is done. He is condemned. Now you repent. You have done wrong. Okay, that's your problem. That's not our problem. But Judas, the man that spent 3.5 years with Jesus, the man that saw Jesus doing miracle after miracle, the man who saw Jesus commanding Lazarus come out, and Lazarus came out from the tomb, this man said, I have betrayed innocent blood. Now, these are his enemies. The FBI is taking notes. Fifthly, among the witnesses, let's call the centurion who was present at his execution. The guy who was there to finalize. Matthew 27, you are there. Go with me to verse 54. Matthew 27, if you are there, go to verse 54. The Bible says, this is talking about the centurion, talking about the man who officially had to declare Jesus dead. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this man was the Son of God. He may have heard someplace else. He may have heard Jesus preach. And then when he was executed, and at the moment of the execution, there was a darkness about the earth, and there was an earthquake, and there were some resurrected bodies that came alive. When he saw what really happened, he said, truly, this man is the Son of God. I really like that. A clear statement, no doubt whatsoever. This man, only God can do what this man does. These are his enemies. So far, nobody can come up with the proof that Jesus did something false. Who was or who is the archenemy of Jesus? The Congress of the United States? Maybe so. The Board of Education of the United States? Yes, I believe. And I say that plenty because I have proof in my office of what the Board of Education is doing. But who is the arch enemy of Jesus? The devil. All right? The devil is the arch enemy of Jesus. Okay? So, I like to see what the devil has to say, the devil of his team. You know, the devil has a team of people working for him. I hope you are not one of them. And he has it, to tell you the truth. Either you are for Jesus or you are the devil. There is no alternative, all right? Either you work for the devil or you work for Jesus. Now, Jesus have a great team working, the devil have a great team working for him. And when Jesus confronted them, let's see what those people have to say about Jesus. Turn your Bible to the Gospel of Mark in chapter 5, verse 1, page 586 in your Bible. Have the enemy, the archie enemy of Jesus and his team of destroyers, have they anything to say? Now I'm going to read the paragraph so you get the panorama of what happened. Mark Gospel chapter 5 verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea. The sea is the Galilee Sea. Into the country of the Gadarenes. Verse 2, and when he was come out of the ship, out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tomb a man with unclean spirit, a man possessed with unclean spirit, possessed with the devil itself, who had his dwellings among the tomb, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. He has that kind of power. You maybe say, well, I don't know about that. I tell you, I testify that I saw one guy in San Quentin doing the same thing to me. We were in a desk sitting, giant fellow, now knows the Lord, and he was talking to me, and I was counseling to him, and he raised the heavy table like if nothing, with that finger like that, and drop it, and said, what is it? And I was with a chaplain. It's just amazing the thing the evil spirits do. I feel sorry for the chaplain in San Quentin with the things that he has to deal with. Verse 3. Who had his dwelling among the tomb, and no man could bind him, nor with chains. Verse 4. Because that he has been often bound with feathers and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the feathers broke in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountain and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with the stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and crying out with a loud voice said, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? That's what Satan said of Jesus. At one time in life, Satan worshipped him in heaven before Genesis 3. And he knew that man Jesus. No man, you know, I checked the scripture. And no man on this earth had called Jesus Son of the Most High God. That Satan knew the Father, the Most High God, and knew the Son. And if you read Isaiah 12, you know that he said, I will go into the highest and I will sit above God. But when he saw Jesus, he lost control of himself. He lost his power. And looking to Jesus, he said, Son of the Most High God, I adjure you by God, do not torment me. Please don't stop me. There was only one person that can stop the devil. The person is Jesus. Well, we look into his enemy, don't we? We look on it. Now, please, let's get the friends, all right? Let's get the friends and have a complete picture. So allow me to go with the friends. I have 15 points in the sermon, so allow me to go into this. Let's bring the friend. The first person I want to bring to witness is John the Baptist. Go to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 29, page 621. The first person to bring in is John the Baptist. John 1:29. That's also part of his family, is his cousin. He's about 6 months older than the Lord Jesus. If you read the Gospel of Luke carefully, chapter 1 and 2, you had the date of birth of both of them. John 1:29. The next day, John sees Jesus coming unto him, and he said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world. Take away, bear upon himself. That's another translation of that word. Behold, the Lamb of God. He's talking to Jewish people. Some people say, read the Gospel of John is the easy one. No, sir, the Gospel of John is the hardest one. Because the Gospel of John is written for Jewish people and have all the ceremonial laws expressed. This is one of them, the Lamb of God, which imply Leviticus 1 and Leviticus 5, imply that you need to bring a lamb into the holy place, and first it has to be on the burning oven, and the lamb has to be pure and so on. And when he sees Jesus, he sees that lamb that will be in his place to pay for his sin. And as a good Jew, he said, Behold the Lamb of God. He is my substitute. You learn in Sunday school the discussion of the church in Jerusalem. They don't want the people to be saved. They don't want the Gentiles to be saved by Jesus. They want the Gentiles to follow the law and then believe in Jesus. You studied that mess this morning. But John the Baptist looked to Jesus and without any problem, he said, Behold, that's the Lamb. That's the Lamb of Leviticus 1. He take my place of Calvary cross. Let's talk about Peter, a fisherman. Let's bring Peter. Peter, who was Jesus to you? And let's bring Peter to a good place. In Matthew 16, verse 16. Page 572, Matthew 16, verse 16. Peter, who is Jesus to you? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Messiah, the Son, I like the adjective, of the living God. Not just a God of religious background, the Son of the living God. Thou art the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You know, I want to really look into one guy who really knew Jesus as a tender man, John. John. He knew more about Jesus than any other man of the disciples. See, Matthew writes the gospel about Jesus because he is the royal king. He is the King of Kings. Mark write the gospel and he say he's a servant who came to serve God. Luke writes the gospel and he said he's the Son of Man. He's the representation of Psalm 2 alive. John take up his pen and with a stroke forever settle the question of Unitarianism. Who is Jesus? And John said, He is God, he said. Well, see about yourself. John 1:1. John Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 1. Say it. John says, In the beginning was the Word, the Logos, the Verb. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they elaborated from the circumstantial evidence of the world. John knew Jesus heart to heart, and he said, He is God. So much he said that there are some people who is a cult who said that this verse doesn't prove that Jesus is God. And so they change the prepositions. And they do not understand the endings of words. In the Greek language or in the Spanish language, when you write, if your word is in the subject, has one kind of endings, but if the same word is in the predicate, after the verb, has another kind of endings. And because there is a play of predicate and the subject here, the words in John 1:1, the word for God, one time is Deus, Deus David, E-O-S, and another time is Theon, Deus David, E-O-N. Not because it's a different God, it is because it is in a different position of the sentence. But there are some people, they are blind by the devil, they never understand it. But John said, He is God. He go right back before Adam and he said, He is God. And if you go to Revelation, the very last book that we study in the evening tonight, a very exciting chapter, chapter 16. Let's go to Revelation 22, 16. 22, 16, the last book of the Bible. Revelation 22, 16, page 732. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you, you as John, these are things for the churches. I am the root and the offspring, that means the descendant of David, and the bright and morning star. People, you got to start reading the Old Testament to know what that means. The bright and morning star, book of Numbers. The bright and morning star, the guiding light for the Jewish people to march and to walk. How precious. I am that God that guides you guys all through the desert into the land of promise. Wow. Then I'm going to bring a disciple that many of you think is a rascal. Thomas. All right? Thomas. Thomas, what do you think about Jesus? Let's go to John Gospel again, chapter 20, verse 28, page 638. John Gospel, chapter 20. Verse 28, Thomas, what do you think about Jesus? And Thomas answered and said unto Jesus after he appeared to him. Remember, he denied him. Oh, no, so we saw Jesus. Oh, get out of here. You don't saw Jesus. Oh, we saw Jesus. And Jesus come. And when he saw it, Thomas said in 28 of John Gospel, Thomas answered and said unto him, My... You got a personal pronoun? My Lord and my God. A lot of people say, yeah, Jesus is God. Oh, Jesus is this. Who is to you? Is he your... Can you say my Lord and my God? Young people, if you say my Lord, that teaches you how to dress. And that teaches you how to behave. That teaches you how to really relate to your parents with respect and honor. I mean, when you say Jesus is my Lord, man of men, it's very difficult for Americans to understand that. Because, see, they think it's democracy we got, and there is no democracy except in the system, in the church. We learned today in the class that it's a democratic system for elections and doing things and so on, but it's no democracy with respect to God. Whatever he said, we do. You maybe say, yes, my Savior, but is he your Lord? If he's your Lord, you maybe like something, you check with the scripture. If this is not a scripture, right, then I cut it off. Wow. Wow. That's, I'm going to bring a series of sermons on June on conviction. The Arabs believe, I went through 7 universities to ask conviction, conviction. Alexandria University, the Arabs said conviction is the art of practicing what you know. Wow. We're going to learn conviction through the Arabic thing. You will see. No wonder the Muslims, they really killed you. Let's talk about Paul. Paul, what do you think about Jesus? Paul met Christ when he was going full blast against Jesus. Remember in Acts chapter 9. And he fell to the earth. Remember? And hear his voice. Let's go to Paul in Acts 9 verse 5. And see who do you think Paul is Jesus? In Acts chapter 9 and in verse 5. He said, who art thou, Lord? Who art thou? And Jesus said, I am Jesus who thou persecutest. Few years later, we hear Paul saying in Philippians 3:8, go through Philippians 3:8. After he met Christ, maybe that's what some people need. They go to church, they become Baptist, Presbyterian, Roman Catholics and whatever, but they never met Christ. That makes the difference. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8. Look at what the Bible says. Yet, Paul is speaking, in thee I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Wow. 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 Now we end up, we're going to pass the time for the radio operators. If you can cheat the guy who follow, keep me on the air. If not, people have to get the CD because I have to get this through. You know, the enemies, I end up in Satan, the archie enemy. The friends, who is the greatest friend of Jesus, God the Father. All right. I shall go to heaven and ask God the Father, Father, what do you think about Jesus? Let's go to Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17, page 562. Jesus was baptized. The work was done. Everything was finished. Matthew 3:17. And then now is the witnessing of the Father. Matthew 3. In verse 17, page 562. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. God the Father is spoke. It is the testimony of God the Father. This is my beloved son in which I am in whom I am well pleased. And not only here is in Mark 1:11, is in 2 Peter 1:17. God the Father, each time he talks about Jesus, he said, I am well pleased. You know why? Because in Matthew 6:29, Jesus said, I always do the things that my Father told me. Young people, that's the trademark of a believer as a son or as a daughter. I always do the things that my father and mother tells me. When I left Argentina, I never forgot the picture of my father. Asked me to go to a private room with him. My wife and my tiny little Miriam, 2 years old, in the other room. And he grabbed me by hair. And he said, son, you never did, and I hope you never will do it. I don't want to hear anything bad about you from America. But I want you to learn what you have learned from childhood. You never earn a penny unless you work for. I'm 41 years in this country. I never applied to welfare or anything. I don't know what welfare is. I have a 411 to heaven in case of. He said, you never get a penny you don't work for. Isn't that a great principle? Young people, you don't need socialism. You need elbow and grease and work and a God who protects you. That's what my father told me. And what did father say about Jesus? He said, that's my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Why? Because he did everything the father said perfectly. Now the $4 million question. Bethel Baptist Church, what do you think about Christ? Will you cry, crucify him, crucify him? Or will you say, have mercy upon me, a sinner? You got the answer. Father, thank you that you are so explicit in the Bible about Jesus. Thank you that there is no doubts in the scripture about him. Thank you that when we investigate the life of Christ through the scripture, we see the mighty God coming down to this earth to offer us salvation upon him. Lord, we are blind. Actually, we are dead. Revive us again and cause us to believe in him. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
How blessed the thought that and my soul, my inbred, shall be his in the glory on high. Will we gladness and soul, I'll be one of the throne in Calvary cover seat all. Calvary cover seat all. My past with his sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there in Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My sin and his sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there. Is Calvary covers it all.
Father, we are blessed by you, touched by you. And we pray, O God, that as we go home, we really know who is Christ. Not only that we take the words of Thomas and apply those words to our life. My Lord and my God. Thank you, Father, for what you're going to do with us even today. And Father, when everything is done and everything is accomplished, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.